Well, let's look now at our agenda and see where we're at. We're going to start talking about some audio and video. And let's look immediately at an example of how you could implement your audio into a page. So the very first line says, hey, my source is going to equal sum.mp3. And then we see that strange-looking attribute without any kind of, you know, assignment to it. But that indicates that the audio tag has a controls attribute. And of course, what that means is it allows it to be seen right there on the control. Controls that would be related to audio. I mean, can you imagine what you would hope would be in there?
Yeah, autoplay makes sense, and loop.
Sure.
And yeah.
Sure. So that's one. And then the other thing would be, in the second one down, you'll see this kind of code, especially when we're worried about a particular thing. And that is backup in case a browser doesn't support something. So here we have that source, you know, equals this kind of extension, or maybe if that doesn't work, then we have MP3. And what the audio tag has is that nice little fallback feature that says, hey, your browser doesn't support audio. If we made it this far, something didn't work. So I think that's important to talk about because we don't have to worry about that when we're in the app world. And I think that that's kind of a cool thing for you to think about. If you put the code in there that says, here's my fallback strategies, the application will still run. It's just that it's not really needed because we're not really designing or developing for the browser. We're developing for an app. So I really like to showcase that because if you see some examples where we're just using the simple SRC tag, you might think, yeah, well, that's not how we do it in the real world. Well, the browser world, you're right. But in the app world, you could just use an SRC attribute, as we had in that first example. So I think that's important to talk about.
It removes a lot of real-world pain.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we'll see a lot of that moving forward, how a lot of real-world pain for web developers becomes a very nice experience when you're developing an app with these technologies. So let's go ahead and go back over to our code. So that was the example with the audio. And you can see that the video really feels pretty similar to the audio tag. For example, in the video, we have the ability to not only have the controls and the backup strategies, but you know, something different with video versus audio is that there's something to see. I mean, truly see, like you know, the video itself. So you can establish the width and the height. And that last one down there, I'm going to say is something that's really cool. You could have like a placeholder, so to speak, or that's what that poster means. If you want to demonstrate a video, but you don't want it to play right away, and you just want to show some kind of image there until somebody does actually execute or cause it, then that's what that poster attribute's for, so that you can, you know, show something. Well, I think what would be really nice to do right now is to actually get into some of the demonstrations. So I will, or you know what, actually, if I remember correctly, I'm going to talk about Canvas and SVG first. My bad. Let me get back over into this. This is going to happen to us all day. We're just going to get excited to get into the code, and I got to just calm down and say, no, let's get into the Canvas first, which is another cool feature. The code for Canvas and what Canvas is it, you know, you think about an artist with a true canvas. You know, it's a drawing platform. It's the ability to draw or put something on the screen. So this example of Canvas, the first one says, hey, let's create a canvas with an ID of can, give it some dimensions, and the text in the middle is, again, going to be executed in the event that it doesn't support it. Canvas does, however, require something else to make it really effective. And that's what that second part of that screen is. The JavaScript that is, which we're going to get into later, this is just a little sampling. So I didn't want to get into this in greater detail, but this is an example of creating like a simple rectangle with a blue color.
Michael, if you don't mind, I'd like to show a Canvas example that we have out on Code Show. So this would be something that you can go run right now if you'd like to.
That's good.
When you open Code Show, you see all of the demos before you, and one of them is called Canvas Ball. So when we refer to one of the Code Show demos, we're going to refer to it by name. You can find that in the list of demos and click on it. And if you can't find it, you can always do a search. Remember, when you do search, it brings out the system-wide search, and you could type something like Canvas, and then it would limit that list just to the demos that match that pattern. So let's go look at the canvas ball demo, and you can see that we've got a canvas and we're painting on it, but we're actually doing it in a loop. So you can imagine that this would be really useful for a game, because in that loop you could calculate where things were supposed to be, and then as you continue to draw, that canvas updates and it looks like it's animation.
That's cool. Thank you. Well, in addition to canvas, which is one way that you could provide something kind of cool like that, there's another technology that maybe some of you have even experimented with, and that's a SVG. And so do you know what SVG stands for?
SVG, is that scalable vector graphics?
Excellent. So here's an example. Yeah, you passed. This example here did not require any JavaScript. It actually does the same thing as the previous slide that was showing what the canvas would do, except this is all done in markup.
So what's the difference? When would I use canvas and when would I use SVG?
Oh, that's a good question. With regard to some of the benefits of SVG, one right off the bat is you can, every single one of those features within SVG can be identified as an object. So you can actually go to any rect, for example, the RECT or whatever it is, kind of a scalable vector graphics that you're using, and you can find it through the DOM, and you can actually manipulate it. So that's one of the nice features. Canvas, as we both know, is just about drawing and redrawing and redrawing and redrawing, and there's not really an object. Like that ball is kind of, it appears like it's an object, but we had to do all the work to make that ball, fly around in the canvas, where we could actually control an object that looks like a sphere or something within SVG. So it's a different approach.
I see.
Are you aware of any other type of differences that could be a reason why you would choose SVG versus canvas?
Well, I know on the high end, there's a performance issue. You would want to make sure that you test your individual application and see how it performs with one and the other. But when you get a lot of vector objects in an SVG, it could have performance implications, because it is having to do the math of calculating all of the placement of those objects.
Yes, so it's not shocking then when we find out when there's all these cool video games that have been created with HTML5. In most cases, I'm not saying all, but in many cases what you'll find is that those particular games were using canvas because they needed that performance benefit. So thank you for highlighting that. Well, I think we're to the point where we can start to do some demos. So I'm going to switch over here to Visual Studio. And a little setup that I want to do for this particular video or this particular demonstration is I want to add a new folder to my project. And I'm just going to call it audio. And I want to showcase the audio features. And I will add to this an existing item. I have a resource file up here. There we go. And I will add this. It's actually one more up in there. Now, you'll notice, and this is kind of an interesting point here, I actually added that dot wave into the project. I'm not going to try to just reference it in the file system somewhere. I've included it in my project, so that's important to see. And then I also will want to demonstrate a little video, so I will do the same by adding a folder for video and add an existing item to it as well. That will be in the video folder here. And I'm also going to bring in some existing CSS. Sometimes we have our bag of tricks or whatever the case is, and so I'm just going to add a little CSS. We're going to get into this in more detail in another module, but I would like to bring in this UX.css. I'm not even going to look at it. I'm just going to bring it in to help with a little bit of the styling that's going to be used. And now that that's done, I will go back over into the form, and I'm going to add in the code an audio tag. So it'd be as simple as audio, src equals, and then I'm going to use a forward slash, go over into the audio folder that I created, and then bring in claps.wav. And I'm also going to specify in that audio, its ID is going to be, well, why not claps? Now, that's not going to do anything, or it's not even going to show anything right off the bat. I thought it'd be kind of fun to tie in an event here in the form. Now, the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to say, hey, on submit, let's go ahead and call the following. Now, this isn't how I like to do it. Do you usually use connect events this way when you're doing your stuff?
Declarative events? No, I usually don't.
Right. And so this is just for the sake of saying, hey, we really haven't gotten to our JavaScript discussion yet. So I'm just going to highlight that this is one way that it could be done, but we're going to show other ways later.
Yeah.
But I'd like to say, okay, well, on this, let me call play off of claps, which is a function there. And because I'm using the submit event here, I also want to return false. And the reason for that is, if you remember the last time when we hit that button, it immediately refreshed itself. I actually want to prevent that behavior, or else we're not going to hear any audio. So I'm going to return false on that. And let's see what happens. I'll go ahead and save this and run it in the machine. And I'll put in a valid site, http://, let's say, codefoster.com. And when I click save, there should have been some clapping. We'll have to get with the audio tech guys at some point. But
you want me to clap for you?
Yeah, if you clap, that will help. Yes, thank you. All right, I'll go back over here. We'll at least be able to see the video. So let me go ahead and get started with that right away. Down here, I'm going to add a video tag. Now, it's kind of the same, but again, such a cool benefit with Visual Studio is if you have a recognized video, just drag and drop it right there on the screen, and it creates the video tag for you.
Now, do you remember the way that we did videos before HTML5, before we had video?
I try to forget these.
Yeah,
moments.
I try to forget that too. This is dramatically less painful than the way it used to be.
I agree. So I just added that video tag. Again, we might not have any audio, but let's see if we can see the video. So I'm going to try that right now. Well, Houston, we have a problem.
Did you stop the last build?
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe it was just taking its sweet time. All right. Well, let me go ahead and stop that right there. This is, of course, the valid markup for this. I probably, just in case, maybe add a forward slash. And if this doesn't work, I'll be using this again in a future demonstration. But it seems like it is having a difficulty loading. So I'll just stop that one for right now.
We've also got a video and audio demonstration on CodeShow.
Absolutely.
They're pretty simplistic. But
yeah,
if you jump to CodeShow and look for HTML video, you'll see some video that runs, and if you go to the audio one, you'll see an audio example that should run for you as well.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? With regard to the content that we discussed so far, you know, I think the benefit of this first module launching off is that people have especially web developers, should feel a little excited because all the new stuff that's in HTML5. All the features that are with the forms, all the enhancements to the user experience, they're all supported not only in standards-based web browsers, but we can start to bring those features down over as well into the application land.
Yeah, the benefit that you were talking about, the nice semantics that's built into HTML5, becomes a big advantage for us too when we downstream are consuming that HTML document structure in our CSS. In other words, we're styling those document elements. And because they're semantic elements, it's a lot cleaner and nicer. Instead of having to perhaps refer to a div with an ID of section or an ID of header or something like that, we can just refer to the section or the header. And likewise in our JavaScript, we're always referring to this document structure throughout the our app. And so that makes it a lot cleaner.
Sure. And so I love that you brought that out, because especially when you're thinking about using semantic tags, you know, a lot some developers would be thinking, well, really isn't the main benefit just for parsing, or, you know, for search engines and so forth? So I love the fact that you brought in the benefit. Well, our apps aren't going to be searched by search engines per se, but we could have a lot cleaner code, as you mentioned, if we still maintained a little bit of that fidelity. And I know that in tomorrow's episode, class, we're going to also discuss some of the differences that we should be aware of between the websites and the apps. So I don't want to steal the thunder there, but you know, sometimes people are saying, well, what if I want to use some of these things that wouldn't make sense to use in an app, but could I still share and all that stuff? And we'll say, hey, yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Right. There's also a number of other huge introductions to HTML5 that we're going to talk about in a later module. Some of the, like the web worker and the local storage and the web sockets, HTML5, CSS3, and the ECMAScript 5 were just packed with features. So we're going to look at a lot of those, but the HTML semantic structure is just a nice foundation, a good place to start.
Yeah. So I think that wraps up the first module right off the bat, and I think now maybe we can announce a quick 10-minute break.